Welcome to Nodcast, episode 145, Anthrocon Adventures. Ooh, I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzz.
And we're here, post-Anthrocon, to give you our reports. Well, the only person that went is Fuzz, so he'll give his report shortly.
Hi.
Oh, my. We have had no end of trouble this last week. But hopefully this will work. Worst case, well, I don't know. You start missing episodes, people get grumpy, and our advertisers don't like it either. Advertiser.
Singular.
We like our dong money. We appreciate the dong money. It helps us buy new recording equipment. So, we're just going to get right to the mix this week, and hopefully catch up with some of the stuff that's come in for the last 2 weeks. First of all, we have an email titled Love Life Troubles. Dear Nodcast, I am a new listener to the show and I love all the jokes and talks you have, so I thought I'd come to you for help. Starting off, my last mate, I'll call Fox to keep anonymous. I've been with him for over a year, and for the record, I am gay. During this year, he's broke up with me 3 times and I broke up with him 2.
That makes 5.
I'm finally done with him, but is it a problem for me to forget him because he has cried to his friends and they have sent me messages and keeps me upset? On the other hand, I've been looking for a new mate. One being a dear who I've known for 3 or 4 years and has helped me through my life. The other I met about a month ago, who's a wolf, and I do have feelings for him. The dear I told I loved him, and he said he loves me back. However, he is loved by a lot of others, and now he barely talks to me. When I tried to talk to him one day, he just ignored me. I am wondering if he really loves me or not. I have asked him this myself, and he says he does each time. Now for the wolf. I did meet about a month ago, and we have a lot of games and anime we have in common. I told him I loved him, and he says he loves me back. However, I look on his Facebook, and it says that he's in a relationship, and he tells a lot of other furs he loves them, too. He is now on vacation till the end of July, and I won't get to talk to him until then. I love them both, and I'm not sure what to do. I would appreciate any help or comments with the situation. Thanks, Tennessee listener Husky. P.S. I am so sorry for blank email, blah, blah, blah. He accidentally sent us a blank email.
It's okay. Everybody hits the send button too soon sometimes.
Especially from your phone.
So, yeah, if you suffer from premature acidulation.
They have drugs for that now. What do you think?
I'm maybe getting a little bit too wrapped up into...
Internet relationships. Internet boyfriends.
I don't know. Is it? I mean, he says a lot of games and anime that they like to play, but they didn't say together. Just, you know.
Yeah, I assumed these were local furs. If I don't know if it's internet. God, none of these guys sound like good options. I'm saying if you've broken up 3 times with this guy in 1 year,
5.
Yeah,
five, him three, five. Him two, and then right. Him two.
You know, I had 5 in my head when I said that.
It's so. Okay, you're not feeling great.
Yeah. Yeah, then definitely, yeah. And just tell your friends, you know, I don't want to hear it if he's going crying to them. It's like, stop trying to guilt me into dating this guy again.
I mean, just say 5 times. Guys, it's been 5 times. That's 4 times.
That's 4 times too many. Honestly, Brosef, you sound really young to me. Not to be like, oh, you're a kid. But with that kind of stuff going on and the turmoil, you know, you don't have to have a mate all the time. Just gonna lay it out there. You don't have to have somebody to be valid. To have that as a point of validation.
Validated.
And, you know, it's just, a lot of this sounds like it's online boyfriend stuff. And really wrapping yourself up in it's probably not the best idea. Now, if, like, the wolf guy's local, okay, that's kind of cool. But he's not the settling down at one boyfriend type person, just by how it
well, said. The deer is kind of blowing him off, it sounds
like. Well, the deer blew him off, but then that was the wolf that was like, he's in a relationship and tells other furs that he loves them, too.
Mm.
So...
I wouldn't put a lot of stock in his Facebook status, though. A lot of people... It depends how active he is on Facebook.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, if he's keeping it updated or not.
My live journal says I'm horny. Oh.
No, and also, in the fandom, people saying that they love each other is a little bit more common than in real life, or in common life and not real life.
Especially if they're retarded.
It's people are a little bit more open with their feelings, and they're a lot more willing to admit that they're fond of people, and they don't mean romantic love. There's two completely different creatures.
I think some people throw around the word love a little bit too casually.
So, and also, it sounds like you're on the rebound. It sounds like you would like some attention. You'd like to have someone to kind of validate that, yes, you're still loved. People still like you. There will be another. That's a rebound relationship. And those don't always work out too well. Usually they burn out really quickly,
mm-hmm.
and you're on your way to your next one. In both cases, it may not be a case of, I like you, do you like me, let's be mates. That's not really how it's done for anything lasting. Usually there's a little bit of, you settle down, you make friends, you start getting attracted, and you find a lot of common ground. And eventually you kind of grow into that whole status. So, basically going around and saying, do you want to be my mate? And they say yes. Yeah, that has occasionally worked out long term, but most of the time it's a fly-by-night thing that burns out. Not always. Not always.
Hopefully that, you know, gives us our point, gives certainly have our point of view at least on it.
So,
next email. Paranoia, better relationship.
Let's see. Dear Notcast. I'm sure this will be off-topic, but I really need an outside opinion on this. I'm a 20-year-old gay man living in Maine. Last year, I met a guy that was bi and wanted to experience a gay way of life before I shipped off for basic training in the military. We had fun, and I really enjoyed it. Here's where it gets complicated. He's bi, and I'm gay. I'm his first gay experience, and he's my first gay relationship. Originally, I enjoyed the sex and thought a little better relationship future. But as we kept going, we really started to have feelings for each other. I hate myself now for not trying to make a relationship before he left, but it's been almost 6 months, so he'll be home soon. Here's my question. I love this guy. Maybe it's fuck syndrome, but I want to make it a real relationship, and see, he seems happy to give it a try. I'm more paranoid about us making a go at it and him deciding, I'm done with this, I needs me some pussy. More or less, I'm scared if we make a go at it, he's going to get bored and leave me for the straight life he knows. Anything you could give to help me out would be greatly appreciated. Thanks for keeping me sane for all these episodes. Your Mainer Wolfie, Thumba the Wolf.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a fear I hear a lot. And we've covered it before.
Well, plus, I mean, you have the additional complication of, oh, by the way, I'm going off to basic, and I'm going to be in the military for 2 to 4 years, or however long the haul is.
I think the military is more of a worry in this case than, you know, if he's going to go on to chase some tail. I mean, if you're going to rate things to worry about,
him being in the military is probably a little bit higher up.
Now, speaking as a bi person and someone very solidly in that, it drives me nuts when I hear this paranoia. Because, to be honest, it's kind of hurtful. I mean, it basically says to me that, okay, you're wishy-washy, you're fly-by-night, you're just going to go off and go the easy route instead of just, you know, treating each relationship like it's unique. Here's the thing. A lot of bi folks don't always see gender. Depending on where he falls on the whole bi scale, you know, is he only slightly interested in guys and mostly girls? Is he half and half or whatnot? A lot of bi folks don't see gender. They just see people. So when you do that, it's yes, going the straight route would be easier. But that doesn't mean that he loves you any less. So if he's just as likely to keep with you the rest of his life as you know, go off and wander and do somebody else. It's, and at that point, you got to worry that he's going to fall for another guy. I mean, to be honest, you're just, you've got as much chance of him cheating on you with a girl as sticking his dick in another guy. You know, you should treat the two the same. So, and I could see how military would be an extra pressure on that. But really, you should be worrying about how you're going to be handling this with him being in the military, rather than if he's going to go off pussy chasing.
Yep.
Yep. I have nothing to add.
Okay, well, hey, let us read another email then. How about just the Woot for New York?
Okay. Woot for New York. So would... Excuse me. So it would seem the good people of New York have gotten it into their heads, finally, that the real definition of marriage is a union between two people who love each other regardless of the genders, or species if you follow Mr. Santorum's line of thinking. Now, north of the border, we've had to gay marriages since, I want to say, 05, so way to go, New York, 6 years after Canada, and happy birthday again to everyone's favorite Fennec.
Yay!
Lots of love. Jeffrey Wolf.
Yay, good for New York. Good for... One by one, equality is coming.
Yes, your birthday is now legal in New York.
Yes, fantastic.
What do you mean?
All right. I just being silly.
So, back around to me. We're going to talk about cons. We got a couple emails about Anthrocon this week, and we got one from RCFM for a couple weeks ago, but that's okay, because that's a con too. Con reports are good. And then Fuzz can tell us of his magical adventures. Yay! Alright, so this one's titled Anthrocon, The Pilgrimage. Greetings, Notcast. I've been to Anthrocon twice before, once in 2008, where I found the flyer for Notcast with his original cast artwork, and once in 2010. Unfortunately, those two visits to the con were Sunday-only affairs. This time, it was the whole enchilada, and I honestly couldn't have been happier. This con, Mangy and I decided to do something special for a few folks that we know or have dealt with in Dealer's Den in the past, as a kind of thank you for the great work they do for the fandom as a whole. 2 days before the con, I began baking like a mad wolf. I think in total there were 12 batches of chocolate chip cookies, 2 batches of sugar, 2 batches of white chocolate macadamia nut, and 1 batch of cinnamon-free oatmeal craisin cookies, as well as 1 no-bake sugar-free key lime pie. Unfortunately, the baking carried on into the wee morning hours of Thursday, when we were leaving for the con. I probably got in bed about 5 and we left around 11 a.m. for the con. It's only about a 4-hour drive from D.C., or would have been had traffic near Pittsburgh not gotten ridiculous. Then, Mangy and I dressed my fursuit up in lime green chef's coat, black chef's hat, and cake Rex apron that says, "I want sprinkles," and set out on Friday morning for the Dealer's Den to deliver the goods. I got big hugs from several people and lots of compliments on how the food turned out, so I'm very pleased overall with Operation Cookie Drop. This was my first con in my fursuit, and I had a blast performing in him. I tried to get into the fursuit games, but the literature wasn't clear that signups happened before the giant time block then. And then they only accepted 64, so by the time I arrived, it was far too late. The parade, however, was really cool. I got to perform for the crowd, it was very, very, very quiet, as we came up the escalators from the Dealer's Den, and a friend from DC led a contingent of like 20 people cheering for me, and I almost fell over grinning inside my head. I did some of the writing panels, watched some of the performances, and got to meet and hang out with some furries whose names I knew and whose work I had admired for a long time. I also spent way too much money on stuff that I wanted. 2 badges and 2 sketches, plus books, books, books. Not counting the 2 hardcover pre-orders, I picked up 6 books between Sofawolf and Fur Planet. Mangy brought all 5 volumes of Fur Piled, the new issue of Heat, and 3 titles from Fur Planet. All in all, the con left me with a great feeling of inspiration and a renewed love for not only furry as an aesthetic, but also a great love of the fandom as a whole. I had no drama to speak of at the con, and I didn't get too excited or worry too much about getting into all the activities on the schedule that I thought I would be interested in. I can't really say the same for Mangy. He got really frazzled at the time, which is really strange since last year was not only his first Anthrocon, but his first furry con as well, and he did a wonderful job staying calm and collected. This year he was still mostly okay, but I think he let little things get to him. Fortunately for us, we got to bypass the gigantic Weston elevator lines quite often because I was in suit and he was my handler. Oh, myrrh. So that headache was not so much a part of it. In the end, it was a terrific con, and I'm glad I finally got a chance to go and visit for the full experience. I hope you're all doing well, and I hope Fuzz got to enjoy the pie. All my best. Sparf.
Sounds like a good time.
Yay!
So, maybe someday I'll get to go back.
Yeah, this week, it was interesting to watch the con from afar. And I'm sure Fuzz will have plenty to say once his turn rolls around. So yours is a Shepherd's First Furry Convention.
Alright. Post-con depression? Fuck that! I have post-con excitement. My first furry convention ever, and I got to go to AnthroCon. I've been to anime conventions before, but they're nothing like furry conventions. Probably the greatest birthday present ever. AC started the day before my birthday. Cool. How did I get there? Getting there was a bit rocky. I was supposed to meet up with my friends to carpool, but I couldn't get dropped off because my father's car broke down. They had to come to my house, pick me up. If that wasn't bad enough, we got about 15 minutes from my house, and I noticed I left my wallet, so we drive back. We had to drive to another friend's home, which is another hour and a half, and they had to drop me off to ride with them. We left Thursday at around 3 a.m. and didn't get to the Westin and the convention center till quarter till 11 a.m. What happened? Well, apparently as soon as we got here, they opened registration way earlier than expected. I forgot to pre-register. To any furs and congoers alike, I have a message for you. Always fucking pre-register.
Saves you so much time.
I was waiting for like 2 damn hours in line. Meet some interesting characters in line. Hardcore fur, fursuits, ferverts, you name it. Ironically, I didn't meet that many ferverts on my first trip to AC. Most of my buddies on FA told me to keep an eye out for them. Didn't really see that many.
What's a... I'm kind of wondering what their definition of a fervert is.
I have no idea.
Like, I don't know.
Furries generally look like your average nerd. Maybe the guy's salivating as he's holding a Lola plush? No. I don't know.
I have to agree with the whole AC and pre-reg.
When I went
2001 and the printers fucking broke, I was in line for 3.5 hours getting that shit. Yeah, pre-register, it helps a lot. Especially AC. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
So after getting my first AC badge, I went to my room in the Westin. I'm pretty glad I got a room there. I'd rather wait for the elevators than walk down a couple of blocks in Pittsburgh. The center is close by. My roommates were pretty chill. I went to the opening ceremonies, which was pretty much it during the first day. When Friday popped up, I was having a lot of fun. Got to meet my old friends on FA face-to-face. I was even able to meet my favorite artists and introduce to new ones. Artist Alley and Dealer's Den is a wonderful place, but be prepared to bring a credit card or a lot of cash. Let's see. During my stay, I met a lot of fursuiters, which is a given at a furry convention. However, before going to AC, I wasn't really sure about fursuiting. After being a spotter for a fursuit, I would have to say I would enjoy getting a German Shepherd partial. Fursuiters have a shit ton of fun. You get to get in character and enjoy yourself. The games and entertainment in a fursuit are pretty cool. After hanging out with some friends, I went to a dance workshop hosted by the first furry dance crew, Last for One.
Cool.
I would never have dreamed to be in the same room as some awesome dancers and have them being furry as well. That workshop went on for a couple hours. Met some new friends there that can dance like it was the last day alive. After which, I went in my local friend's room. We had many laughs and new inside jokes were made. Let's see. Saturday rolled along and things really started getting jumping. I bought a couple of badges from an artist and hung out with my friends from my local area. Oh, the fun we had. The Last for One group had a dance session that did, and I got to meet a fur I really wanted to see in person. His partial suit had so much swag that it wasn't even fun, but underneath, in my opinion, was probably one of the cutest guys I'd met. He took me to a room party, which was pretty cool. First furry room party I've ever went to. The things died down, we left. Interesting enough, the entire hallway smelled like straight weed. Parties got shut down on the floor, but I know someone was on cloud nine before they got caught. He took me outside and introduced me to some pretty laid-back furs.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Oh, my bad. No, kidding.
We had some pretty fun shenanigans. I've got a crush on two people. I've got a crush on Tipu.
Due to this trip.
Oh, due to this trip. Because of their personalities. I'm sorry, they're spelled right. They're just the wrong version of the words.
Bad spelling.
I think it's autocorrect. Sunday finally came, which meant the end of the convention had come. Sadly, but the end of the convention was not going to get me down. My local friend and I wanted to go to the bar. Surprising, the nearest open bar was a gay bar. So I went to my first furry convention and my first gay bar at the same time. Even though I wasn't 21, I knew we were coming back there next year so I can drink legally for the first time. And it will be his birthday. Dude, you've got a perfect excuse to go to a gay bar and, you know...
Don't get too blown up.
To a gay bar, a gay bar.
Gay bar, yeah.
All right, I'm definitely going to AC next year. My personal tips... Pre-register. This is all in caps, bold, underlined, and in italic. He really, really means it.
With like 27 exclamation points in back of it.
In a row. From a cup.
Bring more than enough money. It's always best to bring more than enough money than is needed. I'd rather have extra money left over than be stuck without money. If you're afraid of spending too much, try to control your spending.
Just make a budget.
Yeah, it's make sure that if you need to drive back, you take the money out of the roll, you set aside your gas money, and you keep it separate from your pile. That way you don't accidentally spend it, and then, oh shit, your friends are mad at you.
Keep it in your anus with the hash and weed.
So yeah.
Actually, I know a lot of people will have little separate sections in their wallet. It'll be like, this is for art show, this was Reg, this is the room, this is for gas and food on the way home.
This section of my anus is for holding the cash from my room. I was like, what? Where's he going? Oh, wallet.
I meant the wallet. God.
Right.
Unless you're a bovine furry and you have four stogs.
Or a fox and just lots of room.
Yeah. Oh, look at you, Sheba, upholding that fox stereotype.
You could put like a whole compartment in there
some,
and like
some filing balls.
I know when I fuck a fox to go... God, oh, I can't do that right now.
Bigger on the inside.
I was fingering this guy and I was like, what is that? Oh, no, that's just my change.
Oh, my.
Keep Let reading. Me move those car keys out of the way. There we go.
Anywho, you know what you're going to do beforehand. I had multiple situations where I was thinking about what to do during when an event or something was happening. I'm an indecisive little bastard. Look at the schedule or talk to your friends to plan stuff out. Condoms. I myself didn't have sex at the con, but I know people who have. I was actually had a shirt that said, wear it, with a condom on it. Stay safe. This is also in all caps. Fucking wash. Even if you aren't a fursuiter, wash. There are moments at AC where body odor was pretty fucking bad. Soap and deodorants are your friend. So is hand sanitizer. Ew, concrud. Not bad, guys. Not trying to be mean, just speaking some truth. Reporters. I saw some furries being interviewed, which I think is all right. Personally, I'd rather not have some furry become mainstream shutters. But please watch it what you say. I overheard one conversation that was quite, yeah. All right, he goes on. Throughout this entire con, I slowly came out of my shell. At first, I would give handshakes or a fist pump. Oddly, now I welcome the hugs.
Well, I'm going to say, as long as, it, you know, by the end of it, he wasn't just like, hey, blowjob.
So I was going to say, as long as it's not a husky handshake.
Basically, you're like a big family when you walk through the doors of a furry convention. And probably the most fun I've gotten to experience. So, not cast. Any more tips on making AC even more enjoyable? What were your first AC experiences like? And where was the Notcast team during AC? Also, apparently Obama drove by the convention area during AC. A friend said he saw a silhouette peek through the tinted window, only to have his head pushed back down. Lol. Cheers. Trenton Reinhardt, the German Shepherd. That was a good email. Nice report.
Yep. And the good tips, too. I mean, it just bog standard, but we can't say it too often.
Yeah.
First AC,
my first AC, I'd done other cons, hadn't done a furry con before, so it was my first furry con. So I did the art show, I did Artist Alley, because back then I was actually drawing. I had an okay time. Unfortunately, I sat next to a really popular artist named Jessica Willard. And unfortunately, people would start approaching my table, see who was past me, and streak past me at lightning speed, heading for her. So, yeah.
Kind of got boned there.
Yeah, I was very much in the shadow, because I wasn't... I was not that hot right then. I was okay. But yeah, when you're in the limelight of one of the big names, it kind of sucks.
You weren't poppy for...
No.
And of course, this is now in before someone goes, who's Jessica Willard?
Yeah, well, back then, Falstaff was huge.
And then, of course, people go, Falstaff, who's that? And then we all feel old.
So, but I did the meet and greet for the artists and the dealers at the AC. It's like on Friday night. It's a little soiree, and it's really fun because I got to actually hobnob with a bunch of people. I made some contacts. I got to meet other artists. So I was really kind of happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Met a lot of people there. Met a whole bunch of people I never thought I'd see in person because they were over there from overseas, like Terry Kitten, who was actually kind of popular back then. I got to meet Goldfur, a whole ton of other people who had actually come from overseas and across the U.S. where, holy crow, I never thought I'd meet you. Nice to meet you. You know, see you face to face. And I had a good time. It's just usually a long trip to make from Texas. So,
My first AC was AC04. It was, I think, one of the last years at the, what was it, Adams Mark or whatever?
Yep.
That was my first AC, too. That was last year at the Adams Mark.
With you guys the shitty like Denny's and like the jousting. Fridays and.
Well, no, yeah. We've never had that kind of relationship.
Look, no homo.
No homo. I kind of thought of fucking a dude. No homo. But that's sorry, like, I've been listening to Lonely Island's new album.
So, my first was ACO4, and I knew fuck all, and I was a sheltered little homeschooled boy, and. Or was it 03? I don't know. It was a long time ago. I was younger than 20, and yeah.
It was a galaxy far, far away.
It was a galaxy far, far away. I flew and had to take a cab, and I flew to Jersey and took a train to Philly.
Oh. that was the trip they lost my luggage.
And
they canceled flights.
Yeah, I flew into Newark. That was scary.
Special.
And then I had to take a train, which was also special. And I was just, you know, scared, like, you know, I'm like 19, but I've never done anything like that before. And I'm a million miles from home with, like, not much money for the con, so I was like, I'm going to die. Anyways, the con was... It was actually an experience that I was like, well, I'm not coming back to this again. Because I didn't know anybody, and I was too introverted, and, you know, I was still in my shell. And so I actually didn't have that much fun my first AC. Now, fast forward a couple years, I knew more people, it was better, and then, like, the last couple years, I didn't go this year, but I went 2 years before, and they were pretty fun. And I got to hobnob with artists and do the artist reception and dealers stuff, and it was pretty cool. But AC is just one of those, it's kind of on the cusp of being a little too big for my taste, and, like, I went to ACON this year, kind of helped out Tieran behind the table, and I wouldn't do ACON anywhere else but behind a table, because that puts something between me and the Horde.
Because, so, oh my cuz.
So, I mean, my particular threshold for cons is, Anthrocon is right at the cusp of being just a wee bit large for my taste.
Yeah, it's pretty big. ACON puts it to shame, but there's so many people at ACON.
But I don't go to ACON for socialization. I go there to help Fuzz and Co. sell books, usually.
Mm.
Yeah. My first, to answer where the Notcast crew was, I was the only Notcaster there, and I was behind the Four Planet table most
all
of the weekend.
Weekend.
Unless I was fucking a dude, no homo. Okay, I got Shiva with that one, apparently. But my first AC was AC All Op 4, And what was funny was the first three ACs I went to were all in a different hotel. So 04 was in Adams Mark. Then 05 was in the Wyndham, which was still in Philadelphia. Yeah,
then you had the wedding reception that Sunday.
Yep, and then 06 was the first year that we were in Pittsburgh in the convention center.
Yeah, I didn't go to 06. I was like, shenanigans, and didn't go.
Yeah, I think I heard something. I mean, the con still grew that year, but I knew some people were put off by the move to Pittsburgh. Then a lot of dealers were concerned about the fact that there was going to be union labor moving the stuff in and out. Like, a lot of dealers like to handle their own shit. And now, but it was just sort of growing pains if we didn't really know what to expect and everything. But now it's just like, Anthrocon is one of the best cons to go to if you're a dealer, because we just back our car up to the dock. Open the hatch, and
they load that shit up and bring it to your table.
They load it onto a flatbed, and they bring it all over to the fucking table, and you move it off to the table, and then when you're leaving, you get your shit boxed up. You let the dealer coordinator know you're ready to go. You know, they give you a little, you sign a paper, and then they come and they grab your shit and they load it in the car again, and it's a lot. Less,
it's certainly nicer to unload and reload there than it is to load at your house.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Where's the union guys?
You guys need a first floor. I'm sorry.
See, we didn't own For Planet when we moved into that apartment. If we had, we totally wouldn't have gotten a second floor apartment. But.
Oh, well, the more you know.
Yeah.
But hey, cool email.
Very.
Yeah. So, let me... Stop and save. Okay. All right, now you can tell us about what you did, Fuzz.
And who?
And who? Oh, well, you know.
And how?
I'm not going to yiff and tell. I did just return from Anthrocon, so it's okay if I'm like the furriest furry that ever furred Furry Town. But we had a really good Anthrocon. So I always have to break it down, basically. From a business perspective, it was a very good Anthrocon. Probably, I think, our second best AC ever. So, pretty damn good. We sold out of a bunch of titles. It looked like some of our new releases did really well. Tyrion took the post-convention inventory tonight, because I just got back into town on Tuesday with all the stuff, and shit's been crazy since then. Also, outside of dealer's room hours, I got to hang out with some friends and everything as usual. We had some good dinners, just generally had a good time. I didn't go to a single event this year outside of, I guess, the artist dealer's reception.
That's always fun.
Which is fun. You know, have some cheese, have some soda, look at the art show. But I didn't even go to any of the big shows or anything like that. It was all just personal stuff and dealing this year. But I flew out on Thursday morning. So I got there early afternoon. And we did this weird thing this year where I flew out and drove home. And Tyrion drove out and flew home, because I couldn't get the Wednesday before work off, because it was a big quarter closing. It was super busy and such. But... I'm trying to think of any other specific details or anything like that. I mean, I met a lot of good people. I did enjoy the pie and the cookies that Sparf brought by the table. My brain is a little scattered right now because I've been feeling a bit under the weather since returning from the con.
You sent us photos of a certain fursuit pairing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You might as well talk about it.
Might as well talk about it, yeah. We had a Rainbow Dash and Applejack fursuiters at the con, which was awesome.
And really good, well, decently made suits, at least from the photos.
So, yeah, there were these two very special fursuiters that were Applejack and Rainbow Dash. That I wasn't in the zoo at the time, but Tyrion was, and he told me that the place just completely erupted when the two of them walked into the zoo, which would have been pretty awesome to see. But they were in the fursuit parade, so I saw them walking around later on. I said I didn't go to any events. I forgot. I actually did go to a panel. I went to the Brony meet and greet on Friday afternoon, and from what I gather, the
was that the sound of raw either lust or jealousy?
No, it's the I am repulsed.
Hashtag I am repulsed.
Well, Ricky's not here, and he doesn't really get to say that anymore, so there.
That's right.
That's right. Ricky's a brony now, too.
I think Sarah, but...
Sarah's
actually finished the entire season. So.
Sarah and I were talking about it at work.
Complete
yesterday.
Global derpination.
Anyway. So, the organizers apparently were expecting about 1 to 2 dozen people at most, and it was... The concept was that bronies would meet and sit and chat and get to know each other. The meet was moved to a larger room, and that concept became completely impossible to implement because, I shit you not, there had to be over 100 people there.
Bronies are serious business.
It was huge. They had a projector showing clips from the episodes up there, and they point out a couple of little interesting facts and stuff like that. They did drawings for people to get Brony badges. A couple of artists had basically given away some free artwork badge slots, and they were doing drawings for that. But oh my god, so many Bronies! There was an artist, did not catch her name, unfortunately. But you know the little pipe cleaners that are different colors?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can twist them into different shapes. She made little pipe cleaner versions of the main cast, which were actually really cute. While I was at AC, I also went ahead and got... Because my pony character, Inky Spots, I'd only created him using the pony generator that's on a DA page, but I wanted an actual drawing of him. So I got a very nice badge by Agent Elrond, and it's posted to my FA if anybody wants to take a look at it. But I was really thrilled with how that came out. I thought it was really cute.
It is. It's a cute little drawing.
Yeah. It's Key Spots, yay! My pony Sona. Pone Sona. make up some words here. I want to mention, I'm hearing a lot of interference in the background when I'm speaking. It's
the AC.
Is it?
No, it's our roommate in the shower.
Oh.
Okay, because it only comes over when my voice is...
Well, it's because it's only picking up then, because Okay. It's the water heater making noise.
Ah, alright. I got it.
Sorry. You're going to have to deal with it.
Sorry, I never noticed it before. I was like,
but yes, it's on...
Uh-huh.
It's on his FA, and haters gonna hate.
Yep. So, the other couple cool things that I did was, like, I had a lot of awesome hanging out and drinking. And, oh my god, there's a Tonic, the bar across the street. It's actually, they serve food, too, which is quite good. They make a tonic, like a gin and tonic, called the Tonic Tonic. And it is, my mate joked that I was such a cheap drunk because, holy crap, one drink and I was just like, fucked.
Were you empty stomach when you had it?
No, I've been really? Having food at Tonic. Yeah, I really just am that much of a lightweight.
That's fine.
Yeah, which is great. I don't have to spend a lot of money on alcohol. I hung out with so many awesome people, though. Oh, I do want to give a shout out to all my table helpers. Tyrion, of course, Buck Turner, Siani, Zia McCorgi. They all helped me out behind the table this year. They were like selling machines. We were busy almost the entire time. Everybody was awesome, so that was really cool. Got to meet a bunch of new people, and a bunch of old friends from here and there. Oh, and Tal and I hung out quite a bit, which I really enjoyed. He is from the podcast Unfurled, so if you guys haven't listened to that yet, you should totally check it out. And he's a bull, so, you know, hoof life, you know, bro hoof. Who's also a brony now, by the way. His cutie mark is a beer.
There we go. See, you know, hate all you want, you only make more.
So, I you know, speaking of that, I am going to mention this. I was listening to Unfurled, and the episode that they just posted is one Tal's not on because he was on the way. But
yeah, because they're like a West Coast Canada, so he had to go quite a ways to AC, right?
Yeah, they're up in Canada. Calgary, I think. I think it's more central Canada, I'm not sure.
Okay, well.
But whatever.
They're in the Canada.
So they get an email that they read. That part of the email is like, oh, I hate this pony stuff. When will it end? Kind of thing. And the answer is basically like, yeah, well, it won't end here because I've watched the whole series. So at least two of the three main hosts of Unfurled are also bronies now. So it's kind of like, yeah, right. Write in a podcast trying to hate on ponies and see how far it gets you, you know?
And, you know, if people are going to be all hipster about it, oh, you know, whatever.
And I was going to say, this is not the episode to listen to if you want to hate on ponies, because...
Well, hell, I haven't even dropped shit from the soundboard, because I was like, okay, I'm going to be good and talk about it and not play with the soundboard this week.
Right.
But it's like, dude, seriously, the attitude of quit liking what I don't like and quit talking about what I don't like to hear you talk about doesn't really work with people who do a show. Just kind of put it out there. We're going to talk about shit we like.
Right.
And we're going to talk about Doctor Who, and we're going to talk about movies we've seen, and we're going to talk about
cool
stuff that we like.
You know, I have...
And, you know, I was getting actually kind of down this last week, because we had this one guy who's been kind of persistently douchebaggy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, what the hell? He's gone and like harassed artists on their shouts, saying, oh, quit drawing ponies, I want you to draw more gay foxes fucking in castles. Not literally, but it's like him getting upset about people not drawing porn and instead drawing ponies. And just don't do that, dude. It won't get you anything other than us pissed at you. And we're gonna like what we're gonna like. And you can listen or not. It's up to you.
Oh, I was going to say eat a bag of dicks, but...
Well, or you could just go fuck yourself with a rake.
So what I was thinking the other day, I was thinking how completely stupid this was. Because some of the artists that I watch are also fursuiters. They also construct fursuits in addition to drawing artwork. I don't really like fursuits. Just... fairly well known that I'm not into the suiting aspect of the fandom. Here's the thing, though. When I go into my submissions on FA and I see a bunch of fursuiting pictures, I just click them all and remove them. And I don't feel the need to go to the artist's page and be like, hey, quit making fursuits and draw more art or something like that, you know, or you're boring me with these fucking fursuit pictures or something like that. You know, it's just like, I just remove what I'm not interested in from my watch list, or I save what I am interested in and then clear out my watch list. Well, not my watch list, you know what I mean, my submissions section of FA. And then I just move on, and, you know, it takes me like a handful of seconds.
And to be honest, there's artists that on my watch list that do stuff that I am completely not into.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I like your other stuff, I don't like this, but I'm just going to nuke it and be on my way.
Right. Massive flood of icon commissions. I really don't care about headshots of 25 different furries that I don't know and don't care about. Am I going to go and bitch about it? No.
People posting announcement, I'm streaming!
Yeah, that I actually did bitch about. I was like, man, I just think FA should have a nuke all streaming button, you know, or maybe actually as a feature suggestion, what I would have is like a separate tab or a certain area that would be like, these artists are now streaming, you know, and they would have to like click it on or off or something like that when they were streaming and when they weren't, rather than people having to post a submission or post a journal saying when they're streaming or not. for the people that are interested in that. But, you know, but the streaming is a totally different thing. You know, you're not talking about an art form itself. It's like a different function that you can go to, as opposed to they're not going to have a new call ponies or new call fursuits button or do it by subject like that. But,
and if you new call the ponies, according to at least one video, Celestia just opens it back up.
But another one thing I thought was very cool that I really enjoyed doing was Tieran and I were very flattered to be invited to the Nordgard release party on Thursday night that Sofwolf did. So they had wine, they had some very amazingly delicious cake, and it was just a small gathering of friends and associates of Blotch, and just an opportunity to congratulate Blotch on, you know, the culmination of 2 years of intense work in the production of this comic finally being released this weekend. We all got little Nordgard wine, not little, we got Nordgard wine glasses, which was very cool.
Oh, cool.
Had the logo glass etched on there. We're actually waiting on getting ours because we actually shipped them home, because we had no way to get them home without worrying about breaking them. Yeah. But that was a lot of fun. I got my hardcover Nordgard, my hardcover out of position, so I gotta stalk Kyle at a con and get him to sign the hardcover version for me. I have not had a chance to sit down and read Across Thin Ice yet. I plan to do that this weekend. I think I'm gonna try to relax at least part of the holiday weekend and sit and read it, because it's been life's been pretty crazy.
Yeah. With
Anthrocon and other cons and family medical trouble, personal medical trouble.
I swear I've been going every which direction these last couple weekends, and I'm just going to stay home.
Yeah.
And
so Addison is going to be a complete fucking madhouse this weekend because of the fireworks thing. So Nicole has a bunch of roads and they reroute a bunch of crap and stuff like that. So basically, I'm planning on hibernating in my apartment all weekend.
I have another idea, but I'll tell you after when we're on break.
Okay, cool. But yeah, I'm going to be anywhere but watching the fireworks over Addison. Okay, but Shiva has a plan.
I have a cunning plan.
How much I just want to curl up in a ball and read a graphic novel or something.
Press
like
X to not die.
Plus, we also have a shitload of pre-orders to get out, and orders that accumulated while we were away at Anthrocon, so we'll be doing that this weekend. No problem. And I will have some of the new releases from Sofawolf available for order on For Planet later in the weekend also, because we actually got stock of Across Thin Ice and the new volume of ISO and the new volume of Heat, which looks really good. I would have picked up some of Tempo's book, but they sold out. So good for them, but now I'll have to order them.
It's a double-edged sword. Crap, I didn't get them, but yay for them, but crap.
And then the first thing I did when I got home was like, oh crap, what books do I need to reorder because we sold out of it and the answer's gone.
So what's your next one, MFM?
Yeah, well, depending on my mom's medical situation, which, have I even mentioned this on the show?
I don't think so.
People should probably know what's going on with me, actually. So, recently my mother was diagnosed as having a cancerous tumor. It's a sarcoma. It's in the fat cells, so it's considered a soft tissue cancer. And she's had cancer before, and she's gotten over it okay with surgery. This time they're actually doing chemotherapy.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah, so she started chemo this week, and she called me this morning, and she'd been very sick because she'd basically had 3 solid days of chemo. And I didn't know that. See, I thought chemo was sort of like getting an x-ray where they just, you go in, they zap you.
Oh, God, no.
And then you go out. But she's actually connected to this thing 24 hours a day for like 3 days, and just a slow drip of chemicals.
It's like an IV, isn't it?
Yeah, basically they install a port that they can just plug it directly into your bloodstream.
Chemo is one of those nightmare things. I've had known a couple of people who've had it, mm-hmm. and it's like, God, I hope I never, nobody ever needs to go through that.
Yeah. Well, so they're hoping that they can shrink the tumor with chemotherapy. So she'll have like, this will go on for like 9 weeks. So it'll basically be like 3 days in, 3 weeks rest to recover and, you know, build back some of the cells that are destroyed by the chemo, and then 3 days back in and so forth. So she'll need surgery at some point to remove the tumor, hopefully if it shrinks down enough. So I may, my con plans are a little up in the air right now. I may be missing MFM or Rainforest or both, because what I plan on doing is what I did the last time, where I go out to Florida a couple days before the surgery, and then I stay for like 3 to 4 weeks after the surgery just to help her get around and get her food and, you know, make sure she's okay, bring her medicine, stuff like that.
Wasn't it you or your sister who kind of sat down and made your mom get it looked at?
It was me. I was out there for Memorial Day just visiting, and, you know, she kind of downplayed it a little bit, like, oh, there's this pain and I'm having it looked at. And of course, the medical system over here is that doctor says you need one test, you wait like 2 weeks for a referral and an opening to get that test, then you go and you have that test, and if that doesn't find anything or they need to look at something else, you need another test, and then it's another 3 weeks, and it's just this big, long, time-consuming thing. So she like yelped in pain when getting into my rental car and like was barely able to move, and it was the day that I was flying home, and I was like, fuck this, I'm taking you to the emergency room right now. You're in way too much pain for this to be a minor thing, like the doctor was hoping that it would be. So I took her to the ER, and the beauty of the ER is you pay a bigger copay on your insurance, but they do all the tests right there in the same building, and you get the results back the same day, and they diagnosed this thing within like 6 hours. But then we knew what it was, and now she's being treated for it finally.
It's a good thing you did it, because cancer, just as it keeps chugging along.
They said it's a very aggressive cancer, good. Too. Sorry, don't mean to be a downer, but that's, I've been a little bit out of it lately. I've had a lot on my mind.
But it also explains it, where if you say you're going to be at a con and suddenly it doesn't happen, well,
that would be why. Yeah, and Tyrion can help out in some cases, and I may get other friends to help cover me. It's really, if for Planet Miss is one con for me to take care of my mom, it's not going to be the end of the world.
No, that's a good
priority. Well, I mean, worst case, she can be like, hey, guess what, Tavern? You're going to con. I'm like, I am? Yep. You are now Fuzzwolf.
Oh. It's like here, we look the same, roughly. You have glasses and brown hair.
You're both canines, just shaving, lines, kind just of
shaving, shape. You're ready to go. Well, I was thinking of the things they would actually check the door, not like, all right, let me see your dick. Okay, you've got a knot. Okay, we'll let you in.
Yeah.
Your bash is Severin.
I have multiple personality disorder.
Multiple personalities. Well, I do. I have Fuzz and I have Inky.
And Zuff.
For when I'm feeling cranky.
All right, one sec. Well, actually, we should probably just go to the break.
Okay.
So on that note, we're going to go to break. There's going to be hopefully a Bucktown song in between here. If not, I will find something. So, off we go. Thank you. And we're back. So, as you'll know, we are sponsored by AdamandEve.com, and each week we pick out an item which you can stick in you. This week's item is the All-American Whopper Vibrator. It's similar to the All-American Dong that we've said a couple times, but this one also vibrates. You can get a big, thick, white or black cock in your ass that will vibrate. And it has a 4-star out of 5, so hey, it's probably pretty decent. It uses AA batteries, it's 7 inches tall and 1.5 inches wide, and has a suction cup base, so you can stick it to the wall and
go to town.
You fucking ride that shit to glory, yo.
Yo. Yep. So, hey, it's only $27.95, but if you use our coupon code NOT at checkout or click the banner on our website at notcast.com, you'll get 50% off one item, 3 free DVDs and a mystery gift, and free shipping within the continental U.S., and a bit of every sale goes and helps us out.
I think, you know, if you're like me and you're British and you're not quite sure how to celebrate American independence because your team lost, you totally totally get one of these toys, and you know, then you can stick it in your ass and scream, "The British are coming! The British are coming!"
And that's how you do it.
Well, according to Sarah Palin, that was what happened. Paul Revere saved us from high taxes and blue balls.
All right, so we're going to get back to the emails, and since Fuzz just talked for a long time, we're going to go back to me. Ha! Eat it.
But I'm more important than you.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm a wolf. It's just nature.
What if I'm a pony? Then you're still a wolf.
Oh. I'm riding you either way.
Oh my.
Either to glory or to the stable.
Dear Knockcasters, although I've been furry in spirit for a long time, I wasn't aware of the term of the community until I started playing a text-based game in the 90s when I should have been working on my dissertation. The discussion forum was a big part of the game, and most people posted as humans, elves, etc. When I first started playing there, I began posting as anthropomorphic animal native to your fine state. Several years later, some people, let's say 20 out of 1,000, were posting as furries, so I admired the icon of one of the players. He pointed me to the furry artist and introduced me to the community. My request for advice has to do with the fact that I am an older individual who has many younger friends in my gaming from my gaming days. In addition, I have met many more from interactions online. I can be long-winded. Anyways, when IMing, I have frequently had friends interested in sexual RP, and often I feel rather uncomfortable. It is not that I am opposed altogether, as I have the hiccups, but often I feel we should know each other before getting into that type of thing.
If you're uncomfortable during an RP, you should maybe, like, adjust your chair, look for a wrist rest for your desk, because proper posture is very important. You don't want to get carpal tunnel.
Also,
makes it hard to fap.
It didn't sink in that I'm a lot older than they are, even though they know that I'm a professor at a college and have been teaching for several years. I'm trying to avoid implying I have a problem with their age, while at the same time letting them know I'm older. I'm not sure how else to say it, but I'm not comfortable with it. Generally, I tell them I would really like to get to know them better before doing anything like that, even though it's just online. One person just stopped talking to because he would not take no for an answer. But other cases, the individual seemed willing to give me time, even if they were disappointed. One instance that went beyond just saying... Blah, 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 blah. In one instance, I went beyond simply saying that I wanted to get to know them better online. Since I was driving through his area while on the way to visit old friends, I suggested maybe we could get together for lunch. We made plans, but then a couple days before, he backed down. He had seemed very interested in me online, so I offered to reschedule since I only lived a couple hours away, but nothing came of it. He did, however, go back to trying to start things up online, and I just had to say that I wasn't ready for that. To be clear, I was making the suggestion of meeting him not because I wanted to see how he looked, but mainly to make sure he was aware of the age difference. Also, I just feel more comfortable if I have talked to someone face-to-face.
Hmm.
Do you have any suggestions? I really don't want to go around always saying that I am X years old, but I'm not sure that saying that I'm a professor is working. At my age, I feel rather silly to be asking these questions, but I'm not sure how most of the younger furries look at sexual RP online. Is this seen as not being that intimate or something? Or you can something you can do with a casual acquaintance? I do not want to leave the furry community, nor do I want to give the impression that I have problems with the idea of sexual RP, but I do want to be clear that it is not something I engage in casually. Sincerely, F. P.S. TLDR version. Older fur is uncomfortable with having casual sexual RP with younger friends that he does not know well, but has trouble communicating the issue, but since simply stating, I am not comfortable with this, doesn't always seem to work. P.P.S. To be clear on the age of difference, I could be the father of some of these furries, and while I have no problem being friends with them or even talking about FA and such since they are of legal age, when it comes to sexual interaction, it just feels very uncomfortable.
This is one of the ones that we lost to the iPod.
Yeah, it got eaten last week.
So. And it was a very long, very...
very long-winded reply and as well, but I think we could probably just be like, dude, you're perfectly normal. Tell them... it's a good thing that you're kind of iffy about, you know, banging the younger ones, even if it's e-banging.
It can get you in trouble. Care is needed.
Plus the fact that you're in, like, a university environment, that could be seen as improper. If, you know, one of them gets pissy and decides to wreck your shit. It's perfectly fine, and if they don't take no for an answer, then stop talking to them.
And... I think what we went into, at least I know I'm uncomfortable when approached by younger furs.
Oh, well, I mean...
And hell, any fly-by-night, hey, nice tits, wanna fuck attitude.
You know, I don't get that much anymore. I get fans that IM me and stuff, but anybody that wants to be like, lol, gropes, as they IM me, doesn't get a reply. I don't play that game.
Nice multitude of limbs.
Hey, that there. Might get you somewhere, but I don't think it's where you want to go.
Hey there, want to get tangled?
You like Disney? Want to get tangled?
But no, I think you're perfectly normal for not wanting to, you know, to go at it right away. Mm. I think a lot of younger furs see it as sort of a cavalier, oh, it's online, it's nothing. Which, I mean...
Yeah, see, that's... I think, you know, he did mention that that's a possibility, and it's like, yeah, a lot of people don't see online YAF as anything. I personally don't think it's a big deal. I find it's a little annoying when someone I don't know at all messages me like, sup, wanna YAF, you know, right off the bat. And yeah, some people can't take no for an answer. I'm generally not talking to somebody online if it's not someone that I... have a reason to be talking to, either out of friendship or a business contact or something like that.
I guess in some ways, and this kind of goes back to when I was more that way online, I had basically avatars where I would log in and I would be basically me. And so this is me, the person, talking. And yeah, I might be wearing an avatar of a furry, but it's still basically me looking to be me. I'm not putting up a lot of smoke screens, so yeah, I'm a little bit more guarded when I'm in that. But again, on the mucks, I would have characters I would log into when I was just looking to TS, so or do some kind of scene. Mm. I mean, when I was logged into those characters, I was a lot more open to just doing whatever, because again, it was one degree away from me. I didn't typically share these characters with anybody. It was a degree of separation. So, I guess it also comes down to maybe guarding yourself a little. So, and not, I don't know, wanting to leave yourself, well, maybe it's not wanting to be thought of as like a slut, I don't know.
An Who knows? E-slut.
Lord knows, they do exist.
Eh.
So. Yeah. I mean, if it's not comfortable for you, don't do it.
That's simple thing. That's basically what it comes down to. Yeah.
You don't have to e-fuck if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So, onward to the next one. These next few are pretty short, so we can just nail them out.
Okay.
So it's Kiva's turn?
I lolled hard?
Sure.
Let's see.
I don't know, did you?
That's the title of it. I lolled hard. Dear Notcast. Lol. After listening to Fuzzwolf banter about how Utahs are are so sheltered and traditional that we give corsages on our first date, I feel compelled to get you all up to speed. I've lived in Utah my entire life, but have traveled a lot. Utah is not the land of time forgotten. We have drinking, drugs, and lots of sex, just like everywhere else. In my experience, Texas was far more tame than here, even in the big cities, and especially the drivers. So polite.
Dude. Wait. Drivers in Texas are more polite?
Dude.
I'm just trying to imagine that he's charging his iPod to listen to our show by cycling really fast, and the iPod starts slowly spinning up.
I'm just imagining, he's making, after knowing what Dallas drivers are like, he's making, like, Utah sound like Mad Max.
Beyond Thunderdome.
Yes.
Times 10.
Yeah, just bring
so they're chains. Not stuck in the past or beyond the apocalypse. There was a fuel shortage. I had to rape some people. For their oil.
Let's see. To put it in perspective, Utah has the second largest pride celebration in the United States, first being New York. That isn't to say we're not plagued with a heavy amount of conservatives, but we are all not so old school. It comes down to the generations.
Haven't you sprayed for them?
Back in high school, our prom refused to let anyone with same-sex date in. So a lesbian friend of mine cut her hair, wrapped her chest, and waltzed right in with her girlfriend. My point is, Utah is just like everywhere else. Verb ending in ed. Okay? So don't be too quick to judge. And to the author of the email, Utah has a very active furry community. Google Utah Furry Forum to find us. I hope that may help you find other people with common ground. Good luck on any future dates. Best foot forward. I'm sure you'll do great. But save the corsage until your third date. Happy birthday, Savern.
Yay.
Enjoy your day and have a good time. Know that you and the rest of the cast are appreciated and have a major icon in the furry fandom. Thank you.
Yay. So Utah is not the land time forgot. That is helpful to know.
Damn it, I was hoping to see some dinosaurs. With saddles.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what Jesus rode.
You could not resist. You could not fucking resist.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. I don't know.
We just have several guest stars on this episode.
But yes, we have Steven Magnet over there in the corner. He's a very gay purple dragon. So, hey, next email for us.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday from all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could podcast too. Oh my god, am I supposed to be reading this one?
Happy birthday from all of us to you. We wish it was your birthday so we could podcast too. Hey!
Happy birthday, Saffron 28. Fucking hell! You're almost a gray muzzle, you old fennec. At least, unlike Fuzz, you haven't surpassed your best before date. Hey! Now, on to the topic at hand. Craziest party! I'd say communist party. I'd like to say the one where I woke up covered in poker chips. Nobody will tell me how the hell it happened. It's like this huge inside joke now with my friends. I partied too hard. Needless to say, booze and old Disney films are apparently a dangerous combination.
Anyways, bang bang.
With extra bang bang.
Aw, yeah.
Anyways, have a good one and enjoy being reset several times. P.S. Fudge, you passed your date but haven't lost your flavor. XD.
Okay.
Back around to you,
Back sir. Around to me. We go start. Happy birthday time. Go. Oh, hi there, Notcast and Fuzzy L Block. First things first. Happy birthday, Saturn. I hope Panther and the others do something real nice for you. Smiley face. On the topic of birthdays, Nintendo 64! Wait, that was Christmas. For reals now, back when I was still with my parents, presents weren't very common when I was a kid. But when I got them, they were very nice. The best birthday I had was when I was 16. My parents and several of my friends would hold a surprise party after I would get home from work. As soon as I come in the front door, I'd get an envelope thrown at me, landing inside my mouth. Pulling it out, it had a $500 gift card to GameStop and a check for $250 for my mother. I come inside the house and have the best party ever. Barbecue in the backyard, a bunch of Yu-Gi-Oh! Boosters, sleeves, and structured X-10s, and a gaming session with the whole group. A lot of things went to that day, and I had a blast. A lot of things went on that day. Going along with the birthday gifts part of the topic, the weirdest gift to ever receive was an ancient Apple II. It didn't work, the motherboard was fried, and the keyboard was missing keys. My mother brought it at a pawn shop for $10. She told me it could be my little restoration project. I'm still working on it after 6 years. It starts up and can do everything it's supposed to do, but will never be as good as my Alienware laptop. I do cherish it dearly, though. Hey, in worst case, it makes a fantastic doorstop.
or an aquarium.
Yeah. Now, the best gift I ever received was something I still use to this day. A go-kart. One of my duelist buddies sold his most valuable card to our local card shop for $500. It was a ghost rare Japanese majestic Star Dragon. Sorry for the nerdiness of it. I'm a hardcore duelist. I don't take myself too seriously, though. Pro tip. When he's saying duelist, he means Yu-Gi-Oh! Player. That is the in-game nomenclature used. Just so you know. He wow. bought the card from a junkyard in great condition. I didn't know
that. The more you know. Sport.
He bought it from the cart from a junkyard in great condition. I'm planning going down the sidewalk chucking shells at people wearing a Wario outfit one day for the lulz. And now for the gaming segment of the email. Xbox Live PSN. Both filled with screaming meat sacks called children. Cocky adults bragging about their KDR. Their kill to death radio. And douchebags in general. Do you think that people use these devices make people bring out their inner dick more often, whether online or off? You're hopefully nerdy finnick, Rikusaki.
I don't know if it's especially those guys, because I run into them on WoW, too.
It is John Gabriel's Greater Internet Fuckwad Theory. It's Penny Arcade comic. Look it up. Because it's normal person plus anonymity plus audience equals fucktard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
What? Oh, God, what's the phrase from that comic again?
I don't know.
He suddenly spurts out something. I don't know, it's like...
Oh, cock. Shit cock.
Is yeah. that what it is? Shit cock? I got it. Cool.
Yeah,
I thought it was like cock waffles or...
Well, hey, just like wait. You know, there's gonna be, like, a Call of Duty fan event thing. Mm-hmm. So you can go in person and be called a nigger by a 10-year-old right there.
Just what I always wanted.
Not really. It's like 18 plus only, and all the proceeds are going to a charity. So it's actually.
But I want to be called cool. a raging useless faggot.
Well, I'm sorry, Fuzz, but you'll only get to hear that from like Recky or something.
Well, tell me you're missing your dose, and he needs the office game. So he's not here this week, which means next week he's going to be double misogynistic to me. So.
Oh, maybe. He might tell you to just... He'll start out and be like, get in the kitchen.
Yeah, we'll set you up a mic. Don't worry. These XLR cables are really long.
Yeah, we'll set up the mic in the kitchen. You can make sandwiches the whole episode.
Well, we keep Fuzz in a good mood the entire time.
Here's hoping.
True. Hey!
Anywho, follow up on did I do the right thing?
Hang on a sec. Go.
Do I need to redo the first part?
Yeah, just start.
Follow up on did I do the right thing? Dear Notcast, I found out after I had the come to Jesus talk with my boyfriend about the incident, the racist that we now call Douchebag McGee, that he was mad at me because he was concerned about my safety. You see, right before I told Douchebag McGee that I thought what I thought about them, he had just showed my boyfriend a collection of legal firearms and weapons. He also has a history of violence. Keep in mind, we live in Canada and have strict gun control. My boyfriend went and had a come-to-Jesus talk with Douchebag McGee over the incident. Douchebag McGee told my boyfriend that he forbid him to date me or he would make us break up. Both my boyfriend and Douchebag McGee had grown up in the middle of fuck nowhere in Saskatchewan, so Douchebag... Hold on.
Wow.
You should have heard him as DBM.
DBM.
For short.
Douchebag McGee!
Thought my boyfriend would side with him. My boyfriend told him, who the fuck are you to tell me how to live my life after what you just did, and that just because they had grown up in small towns where racism is acceptable, but that is not in the city.
Who the fuck are you, eh? That's some shit they pulled out in the States.
That was Scottish.
Sorry. I was trying to do Canadian, and I slipped into Scottish. I was like, oh. Sean Connery says you're a cunt.
My boyfriend told me that I was more important to him than any of his friends, and if any disrespect me or my background, that he would have a come-to-Jesus talk with them, too. Now, Douchebag McGee, after trying to harass me and my family by driving up and down my street, laying on his horn till the neighbors called the cops, and got arrested for causing a disturbance. We don't know what happened after that. Anonymous. P.S. Props have to go to the courts of Saskatchewan for keeping gay rights a priority. In one case where a Catholic minister asked the court to exempt them from having to form gay marriages because it was against the religion, the court said, too bad, gays have rights and are protected by laws, as does the church and the crown, British Commonwealth or state, does not care about your religion, and if the church has such a problem with following Canadian marriage law, they should stop performing legal marriages. As well as recently, our Pride Week celebration, we had a drag queen shot down in their home in the province. The court sentenced the killer to life in federal prison and no chance of parole. The judge has harshened the sentence to no chance of parole from chance of parole after 25 years because it was a hate crime. I feel blessed to live where I do and hope that everyone in the world would have... I hope that everyone in the world would have to sense security that us in Canada have. So.
Okie dokie.
Did not know it was so tough up there, but I'm glad to hear it.
They take their bias crimes seriously. Okay. That's good that your boyfriend stood up for you. He was not a dick.
We were like, wow, hopefully
he's not a dick. But hey, he's not a dick, so good job.
Yay.
Good for him. Okay. So, on to the next one, I guess.
Yep. Only a few left.
Gotcha. Sounds incredibly familiar. I think we've read this one, too. We have. I'm sure.
Oh, shit, we did? Okay.
Yeah. We've read that one.
Look at the other two.
I know.
Did you read this one, or was that from last week?
Let's see.
Yeah, we've read that one.
So we've probably read... Yeah, did the thing about DFW... Did that get in the episode that got out, 144?
It's the one that got eaten, I'm pretty sure.
On the Dallas one?
Yeah.
No, because this is the one that he sent us the follow-up about me saying Utah was backwards. This is the email that spurred that.
Yeah, okay, so hey, that was it.
That was the last one, so we're done.
Yay!
We're prepared
for some.
I don't know why those didn't get archived after the last.
I went back into the archive and unarchived some from the previous week that might have been from the episode that got eaten.
Oh right, okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay, no problem.
Because it got eaten, we couldn't reference it to make sure.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, that iPod's pretty dead.
Oh, that's too bad. You'll have to get a new one.
Oh noes. So, on that note, we're all tired. We have much to do. Stay safe this weekend, because this will be out by tomorrow night, probably, or Saturday morning.
Blow shit up safely.
Don't blow yourself up. Because you said
that, it'll now be posted on Tuesday afternoon.
People are going to hopefully not lose any thumbs, faces, and or yards.
Assholes.
Don't stick a Roman candle in your butt, kids. Oh my god.
Fly to the moon.
Do not do any tricks ever seen on Jackass or anything that they might possibly consider doing on Jackass.
Yes.
You will regret it.
Stick a sparkler in your ass and run really fast and you can make a sonic rainbow, trust me.
What a terrible idea.
What I just said, not actually a guarantee.
Oh my god.
You know what? One of my favorite moments from that episode is Twilight says, "You're not a loser." And Dash goes, "She kind of is." Shut up, Dash.
So you're not a laughing stock.
That's what it is. Yeah, she kind of is.
OP, you're not a faggot. He kind of is.
Yeah, I've seen that image used.
Furries, y'all aren't all faggots. You kind of are. God, this fandom, it drives me to drink.
Confound these furries. Yeah, they drive me to drink.
Which is cool, because I can drink it in my Rainbow Dash 20% Drunker.
Yeah. The awesome thing that I brought you from Anthrocon.
Yeah, I'm hoping you can find that window cling. I want to put it on my car and make Panther rage and just show my, you know.
Just don't put it on his car or he'll kill you.
Oh, it's a window cling, not like a vinyl or anything. It goes on the inside of the window.
Oh, I know. I think, that doesn't mean it won't make him go, rah, like he's prone to doing.
Oh, well.
Yeah. At least we have the shot glasses.
Yes, I have the shot glasses, and we'll have to get
20%. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I have my Doctor Who's.
Yes, you got a Doctor Who's mini.
Yeah, there was a pony artist there, and I don't have her name. I'm going to PM her on FA. That was selling little customs that she had made, and she had like 3 derpies and a vinyl scratch and a Doctor Who's. I mean, they were expensive because they're custom made, but she sold out. She had 1 Doctor Who's, and I cheated because I bought it like before the dealer's room opened on Friday. She sold out of fucking everything by the end of the weekend. Same person that had the window cling things or the vinyls, whatever, and the shot glasses also had tall drinking glasses, and they had little shot glasses that had the cutie marks of the individual characters on there. So I know at least one friend wanted to get the Applejack ones, and I was like, man, you got to put like Apple teenies into the
Applejack. I was gonna say, I mean, if you're gonna get one, you might as well get the set. You know,
yeah, oh, the cutie mark ones. Yeah, the they're like six. $10 each. So, no. Yeah, well, it would add up kind of quickly.
You could get 6 shot glasses or a commission.
Yeah, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of getting a little custom made of Inky Spot, so to have a little Inky figure.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yep.
So.
And actually, they've got some the Wave 2 ponies that have closer to Inky's coat coloring on the base.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be pretty easy to do.
Ah, cool.
So, anyways, we should probably end the show lest we ruin everything forever with further pony talk.
Yeah.
I hope that your flanks aren't too hurt. On that note, good night.
And big balls.
Yep.